In the gospel reading today, we hear our Lord say to his apostles, "A little while and you shall no longer see me, and a little while again and you shall see me." And we stop and ask the same question that the apostles asked. What does this mean? And in case you think that there's something wrong, that you have to be asking this question, one of the things that St. John does in his gospel is put these little things in there intentionally to make us ask some questions. Why is that there? What's this mean? What's this all about? 7 times in 4 verses, we hear about this little while. It's obvious he wants us to ask the question. He's trying very, very profoundly to draw attention to it so that we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean? Now, you might think, in the context in which our Lord is speaking, that it's about his death and resurrection. A little while you'll see me, then a little you won't see me, then you will. You'll have sorrow and the world rejoices, but then your sorrow will be turned to joy and no one can take your joy from you. Sounds like, yeah, they're going to be in sorrow because our Lord died, but they'll be rejoicing in the resurrection. No, that's not what he's talking about, because it says, a little while you shall not no longer see me, and in a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. If we look at the larger context of what he's talking about here, he's talking about the Holy Spirit coming, he's talking about the things that'll be happening for the apostles, and so he's talking here about his ascension. And so it's not a matter that they're not going to see him for a couple of days because he's going to die and be buried, and then they'll see him again in the resurrection. He's talking about what's going to happen after that. That he's going to go to heaven. They're not going to be able to see him. But the day will come when they will see him again. And we can even see this with how he explains it. Not only does he talk to them about the fact that they will be in sorrow while the world rejoices, which we'll talk about in a minute, but he talks about the idea of a woman giving birth, and that there is the sorrow that her hour has come, and then there's the rejoicing because a child has been born into the world. So in other words, the joy is when you are born into heaven. It is a joy that no one can take from you. That's ultimately what he's talking about. But then he's talking also about the fact that until that time comes, there's going to be sorrow. In fact, we look at the end of chapter 16, and he says, you will have trouble in the world. He doesn't try and sugarcoat it. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to have trouble. So we look at what's going on in the world right now. And if your head is screwed on straight at all, you've got to be scratching your head wondering, how can these people be rejoicing in what is going on? You look at the evil, you look at all the things that are happening, you look at people protesting against things that are good, and you got to stop and wonder, what's happening? Well, what's happening is that the world is rejoicing in evil. They have chosen who they want to serve. And our Lord made that very clear. Choose today whom you will serve. Told that to Joshua 3,500 years ago. But Jesus tells us the same thing. And so if we want to serve Satan, we're going to be rejoicing when we see the things of Satan triumphing. When we see what Satan is doing, this is what we like because that's who we've chosen to serve. But if we've chosen to serve God, it's going to bring sorrow, the tragedy of souls that are being lost. And even the souls that are going to convert, many of us know this from our own experience. If we had given in to that garbage for a while, then it's there for the rest of our lives. We look back at it and think, just as St. Paul says, the things that we used to rejoice in, we now are ashamed of. And so we recognize that and we say, wait a minute, there was a day that I rejoiced in sin? There was a day that I rejoiced in evil? Perhaps if you look in your own life, the answer is yes. And then now we look at it and say, but there is joy. There is joy because the Lord has pulled us out of that. And because we have chosen that we are going to serve Him. And so we're going to be sorrowful because we see the sinfulness, because we see all these others who are not living in a good way. And if they don't have conversion, they're really going to be in a bad way. In the meantime, because it would appear on the natural level that Satan seems to be winning, we know that's not the case, but it's what it appears, that those who are going to serve him, and again, we have to be able to acknowledge the truth, those who serve Satan serve their master faithfully. They serve their master wholeheartedly. When it comes to that, let's admit it, they put most of us to shame. If we served our master half as well as the Satanists served their master, the world would have been converted and things would have been taken care of eons ago. But we serve our master half-heartedly, most of us. We give him lip service, but we keep playing with the other side. We keep trying to see if we can find a way to compromise with the ones who want to serve the devil. It doesn't make any sense. It's absolute foolishness. And yet we keep trying to do this stuff. We have to make a choice. And it needs to be a radical choice. From the roots, from the depth of our being, it's not just a choice in our head. It has to be a choice in the way we're going to live. And that's exactly why the church gives us the first reading, telling us, first of all, that we're being addressed as strangers and pilgrims. In other words, if we're going to serve the Lord in this world, we're not going to fit in. We're going to be strangers in this world. We're going to be pilgrims in this world, meaning that we're passing through. This isn't where our homeland is. This is just, we're working our way through this on our pilgrimage to get to where we want to be. So that's how St. Peter starts. And then he tells us that we have to behave ourselves honorably among the pagans. We have to be an example. He says they're going to slander you as evildoers. Again, if you've paid any attention at all over the last number of years to what's going on, people who want to do things that are wrong, they keep pointing the finger the other way and saying that you're the one who's doing what they're doing. They're the ones doing evil, but they keep pointing the finger at you. You're the problem. You're the one who's causing all the trouble. Really? Because you're trying to do what's right? Well, yeah, for those who don't want to do what's right, you're a problem. Maybe that's why we keep trying to compromise with it. We can't. There is no compromise with evil. So that's why St. Peter is telling us that we need to behave honorably. He says, because through observing you by reason of your good works, they will glorify God on the day of visitation. The day is going to come when those who are slandering you are actually going to have to admit that what you were doing was right and what they were doing was wrong. Oh, sure, they were serving their master. Their master isn't good. Yours is. Are you willing to serve him with your whole heart and soul and strength? Are you willing to truly live the life that you have vowed to God that you're going to live? Again, think back a couple of weeks ago, renewed our baptismal vows. I reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. Then why do we keep going back and seeing if we can find a way to compromise with him? We said we reject him. Then let's reject him. That's what we need to be about. So we need to be living good lives and be an example, to be the leaven in the world that's going to affect everything. Yeah, those who want to serve the devil aren't going to be too happy. They're reveling in their evil. They're reveling in their sin. And we become just like that prodigal son, poor farm kid down in the valley, while up on the hill there are the 10 cities, and he can see the lights and he can hear the noise and everybody's having so much fun, and here I am down here on the farm, poor me. So what's he do? He goes up there and he blows everything he's got because he's having fun. Until he finds out that it's all empty. And now he wants to eat pig food. And nobody even offers him that. But again, you listen to what that story says. It says, when he finally came to his senses. That's what it has to be. We need to be able to help these people. Maybe we need to do it ourselves. We need to come to our senses and recognize this is empty. What the world is reveling in, what they're rejoicing in, what from the distance looks like they're having so much fun, everything's so exciting for them. It is empty. If you've ever tried talking to these people, oh, they'll tell you how exciting it is. Just listen for a few minutes. They're dead. It's emptiness. You just listen to the way that they talk. There's nothing there. It's just running from one point of pleasure to another. And nothing ever satisfies. They always have to be looking for more. But if we have the Lord, we don't need anything more. That's where the satisfaction is. That's where the fulfillment is. But we have to really have him. We have to choose to serve him. That again is what St. Peter is talking about. Be subject to every human creature for God's sake. All these things that he's talking about. We have to live good and holy lives. We have to choose to know and to serve the Lord. That is what we're talking about here. Not just show up at church on Sunday and then live the rest of our lives like the pagans around us, but to live our whole life as Christian people, as people who know and love and serve the Lord. So that's again what we're being asked to do, because in this little while, and all you have to do is ask somebody who's elderly, how long is life? It's brief, it's quick, it's gone. Oh, you can look forward and you can say, oh, but it's so long, it's so many years. My mom used to tell me, the older you get, the faster time goes. That made no sense to me at all when I was a kid. Now, for heaven's sake, you get up in the morning and next thing you know, you're going to bed and it's like, what happened in between? The days are flying by. Getting to be an old geezer, what can I say? But you look back and it's like, where's life gone? It's here one minute and it's gone the next. It's a little while. A modicum is the word that's in Latin that's used there. Just a tiny little bit. and then it's gone. Because God doesn't have you for just a tiny little bit. He has you set for eternity. And it is there that you're going to see the Lord. And it is there that no one will be able to take away the joy that you will have. And it's on that day, as our Lord, again in the same passage, talks about, on that day you will have no questions to ask me. You're going to see the Lord. You're going to have the fullness of knowledge. You're going to have the fullness of love. Your soul will be completely filled to the brim with the love of God. That's what you're created for. And that's what he has for you. In the meantime, this is a time of testing. We're going to have sorrow in the world, Jesus said. The world will be rejoicing and you're going to feel the sorrow. You're going to have trouble in the world. Jesus never told us this was going to be easy. He told us just the opposite. We keep buying into that false gospel of health and wealth. It's nowhere there. Read the Gospels and ask yourself, is there even once that Jesus even hints at this? No. But it's a whole lot easier to believe than the truth. Let's believe the truth. He laid it out for us. None of us can say we didn't know. But this life is very short. It's a time of testing. It's a time of purification. It's a time that each one of us has to make some choices. We need to choose the Lord. Remember, there are only two options. It's either Jesus or it's Satan. Satan is a liar, so he will disguise himself in 1,001 ways. So it looks like there are all these different options. No, they're not. They all lead to the same place, the liar. There is only one truth, and that truth cannot change, and therefore there is only one path of truth. So Satan will lay out thousands of paths for you. What lie do you want to believe? Then go down that path. Oh, look at what I've got. Yeah, look at where it leads. Jesus laid out one path because there is only one truth and the truth can't change. We need to choose that path. We need to choose to live our lives for Christ. It is only in that we're going to find the fulfillment in this life. Again, most of us have enough experience to know all the selfishness, all the pleasure-seeking, all the sinfulness, it doesn't fulfill, it doesn't satisfy. Oh, it's exciting for the moment. And then you're emptier than you were when you started. We need to reject it. It's all a facade, it's all a lie, it's a mirage. We have the fullness of truth. We have the fullness of love. There's no fake in that. It is there for you. But each one of us has to choose it. And if we choose that in this life, yes, we're going to be rejected by those who want to serve Satan. We're going to be rejected by the worldly because we're not made for this world. So if we're pilgrims and strangers, we're exiles, we're moving through this on our way to something greater. If we can keep that focus, then even now we can have joy, we can have peace, we can have fulfillment. But that is only leading to the ultimate joy and peace and fulfillment when we enter into life. When this little bit of time is over and we will see the Lord, that's what Jesus is offering us if we will choose it. So pray about that. Really look seriously at your life. Look at the areas of sin and recognize they don't fulfill. I keep going back to the same thing, trying to find something that makes me happy, something that's going to do whatever I want it to do, and it never does, which is why I have to keep going back and trying again. come to the one who does fulfill, the one who does satisfy, the one who does bring joy. And that is the Lord. Work on your prayer life. Develop that relationship with Jesus. Then you will know him. Then you will serve him. You will love him. And you will be filled with the greatest of joy when the day comes when you can see him face to face.